Welcome to the Fatherhood is Lit podcast, where we talk about the best of times, but also pay respect and learn from the crazier times. Our presence matters. Take a ride with us as we show the world how we make our presence felt. Fatherhood is Lit. What's good, Fatherhood? It's your boy, James Lopez, representing for the dope dads of the Fatherhood is Lit community. I grew up in the birthplace of hip-hop, the South Bronx, and without hip-hop, there would be no me. Hip-hop saved my life, and today I'm honored to have the founder of Homegrown Radio and Real 92.3 LA's new home for the hip-hop, radio MC, Chuck Dizzle. What's good?
Yeah, hey. You sound like you trying to take my job, dog. You got the whole liners and everything, bro.
Good. Yo, I'm not. Man. Nah, man. Daddyhood is my job, bro. I'm not taking no jobs right now.
All I'm saying is that you sounding good enough. With they need somebody out here, you might want to put your name in there for the qualifications, man. I appreciate you having me on and reaching out. I've been following the movement on social media for some time now, and I'm just glad we're able to connect. Like the whole thing with the fatherhood. That's what really like. Kind of got us together in the sense of like, oh, you know, obviously hip hop too, but you know, this is that like-mindedness, and I'm so honored to be a part of the Daddyhood, you know, club, and you know, you having me on, man, this means a lot, bro, for real.
Nah, that's what's up, man, and I'm honored to have you on here, bro. I know you and I've been going back and forth. I knew this was gonna happen soon. It popped up, and we here representing, man.
The right way too.
That's right. So thank you for taking the time, because you know, for the listeners out there, man, you know, I know you juggling those jobs, getting it in,
bro,
for the
I'm holidays. literally at work right now, making sure these songs, there's no dead air on the radio, and recording liners, making sure my son is staying with my with the wife today. My wife is off, so she's sending me pictures of what he's doing. He's being turned up. So it's literally juggling three different things at one time.
That's the way it is, man. So do you find yourself, since you're always at the radio station getting it in, do you find yourself doing a lot of like FaceTiming and pictures to fill the air?
I'm always doing that. I'm always doing that because it's like I don't want, like, in the industry that we're in, especially with hip hop and with radio and whatnot, there's no, like, especially with what I do, right? I'm part-time here at the station, which means I don't have a contract, so I'm always on the fill-in side. So I work with Big Boys Neighborhood in the morning. I do that 5 days a week, and on the weekend, I have my show with DJ Head Homegrown Radio. And, you know, any other time that they need me, like especially holiday season, that's the times I work the most. So I'm always finding myself, like, FaceTiming and, you know, calling and just checking in because, you know, with technology now, it's been a blessing that he can actually see me, you know what I'm saying, while I'm away. So I'm already away more than I want to be. So, like, that just kind of allows me to kind of be there, you know, physically in some sense. So between breaks, so when I got some downtime, I'm always FaceTiming my wife, you know, when she's at home, if she's with him, or if you know, we've been blessed to kind of have a lot of family step in and pick up the slack where we're not. Cause my wife works a lot, too. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if he's with my mom or with my sister or with her mom, I'm able to just the quickness, like just call him up. Hey, what's up? Dad's looking at you. Make some jokes and then get back off the phone. It's been the best shit ever because it's like that plug and play. And it's not like I'm away, you know?
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, it's funny that you mentioned the help from like the family and stuff like that, because I have a mother-in-law that gets on my nerves. And whenever I jump on TV or any type of press, I rip her and she hates it. But I truly appreciate her being there to help me, man, because without her, I would be in trouble.
It's the best thing ever, man. And to your point earlier, when you were talking, well, we were off air on the record at this point, but you were saying how, like, parenthood really is like, it pauses your life. And a lot of people, they don't know that. And I've just been so fortunate with being in the business that I'm in. It's out of sight of the mind, as you already know. But the family has been the true instrument to me, at least from the parent standpoint, and not feeling that way. So I'm able to still do events, maybe not as often as I'd like to, but, you know, whenever I need it to drop up a dime, if anything pops up, I got the family to rely on. It's the biggest blessing. As much as, like you said, it sometimes can be a headache, it's the biggest blessing in the world. And I've been fortunate enough to have that in my life. And I know personally people that don't even have a partner, damn family that they can rely on. They don't even have a partner that they can rely on. So it's like I catch myself in those moments where I'm like, oh, he's tripping. And I'm like, you know what? I got somebody. You know, I got a village to help me, you know, raise my son. This is the best shit ever.
Yeah, man, we need that village, man. Like, you know, I never appreciated that. Like my mom, my dad used to tell me, yo, the whole neighborhood has your back. They're all watching you. And yep. I never thought about it like that. It was like, why y'all got them watching me, man? Y'all spying on me? Like, what's good? You know?
Nah, it's so necessary because there's different things. Like, there's no manual when it comes to parenthood. So there's certain things that you pick up from your relatives, and there's obviously things that you naturally just kind of do yourself. But, you know, sometimes just having that is good to have a guide, and you could, you know, maneuver and navigate through seeing somebody else do some things. I mean, so I'm pretty sure with you, like with your sons, it's like, damn, I remember when so-and-so was telling me, whether it be somebody down the street or a relative or whoever, and now you implement that with your own style, with the way you know, bring up your kids. So, I mean, it's always good to have that in the back pocket, as you know, that just to have it there whenever at will.
Yeah, I think you hit it perfectly, man. Like, I think, you know, there's no blueprint to fatherhood. There's no manual that you could really buy. But like you said, you know, you watch the people around you, the people that raised you or are helping to raise your child, and you start picking things up, but then you modify it to do you, where you don't have to bend over and be somebody else. You know, you could be the dad that your child needs, but you could still be Chuck Dizzle. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And a lot of people forget that part of the game. So now you're always on the grind, always on the radio, doing parties, you know, roaming, the industry. You got the industry on lock.
Yep.
Did you ever take your child to work?
Yeah, that was one of the biggest mistakes I did. It's funny that we were talking about the village and the family. The one time that my family couldn't do it, I was like, you know what, man, I'll bring him in. Like, it's not that much I got to do. I brought him in on the weekend one day. I'm like, I'm just, you know, I'm gonna knock these little breaks out. It's gonna be super, super easy, super quick. At this point, he's like maybe 3 to 4 months, and so he's, you know, able to kind of be in the stroller, content, got his snacks, all that together. You know, if he's, you know, needs to be changed, I'm good. Like, I got everything lined up. I know I got a good 45 minutes to do what I got to do, and he can be content in his little stroller for about 30 minutes. Bro, when I tell you the moment I got to the station, what was supposed to take like a 45-minute job literally took me about 3.5 hours, because every time I grabbed that mic, he wanted to turn up. And it's like he knew instantly, like, yo, dad's got to work, and your attention's off of me, and I need in on that right now. I need in on whatever attention you're not giving me. I want to turn up. So it was just so funny, man. I was grabbing the mic, and he would literally, like, start crying or – and it just make noise, wasn't even whining, but just start doing something every time I hit record. And that was like one of the biggest mistakes. I'm like, all right, I can't bring him to work unless, and the second time I brought him was just kind of like, just so he can kind of see my coworkers, and it wasn't no really work involved. You know, they all love him up there, and they, you know, they're so cool with him. So I brought him on two occasions, one when I had to work, and one when I didn't have to work. And I prefer bringing them when I don't have to work, so I actually can work, you know?
No pressure, no pressure.
No pressure. I swear, bro, when I tell you, it was such an easy thing that I had to do. I was like, okay, I can just pull up. I had it all mapped out. And when I tell you that, it took one of my coworkers, shout out to my girl, Nina Chantel, man. She, I don't know how, but he took to her, like, for a good 30 minutes, like, towards the end. And that was like, that was the time that I needed to finish what I had to do. But yeah, he went to her, was cool with her, and that allowed me that time to knock out what I had to do. But I was like, yeah, never again. If I have to work, I'm not bringing them, like, if I really got to do, actually get some work done.
Yeah, no, it's crazy because it's like you said earlier, like, it's like they know that you have to do something, right?
Man, they keep it's you, like they turn up. Just turn on.
Yeah, they
exactly.
Turn up,
the clock just turn on, man. Like, nah, you're not going to give me attention right now? We're going to change that. Hold on, Pop. Hold on one second. All that. It was like, all right, bro. Okay. I hear you loud and clear, man.
Yo, that's hilarious, man. One time I was interviewing a tech billionaire, right, from the Valley. Uh-huh. And I'm doing it through Skype. We're talking. And I put my son on his little, like, swing. Like, I know that if I put him on his swing, he'll fall asleep. I got at least an hour, 2 hours to do my thing. Man, 15 minutes in, all I hear is screaming.
And you're like, I'm talking to a billionaire, son. Hold on.
Yo, and the billionaire, you know, the billionaire hears it, and he's like, yo, you know, who he's crying, like, go handle that. I'm like, oh, man, you know, just give me 15. I'll let him cry for another 15 minutes. So we let him cry for like 10 minutes. I run to the room. Yo, homeboy is hanging from the swing, almost fully naked, bro. Like, yeah, I don't know how he escaped, man.
He was like, look, if I got to get to you somehow, I'm crawling out this thing. I'm going to make it. I don't care how much money you got on the line. I'm going to get to you.
Yo, I felt so bad. Yo, I felt so bad. When I saw his face, man, I hugged him. His name is Jordan. I was like, yo, Jordan, I promise to never, ever, ever do an interview while you're home again. I felt bad for him, but in reality, I was crying for myself.
Yo, it's so funny that you said that, too. It's like we have those thresholds. Like, we're in the phase right now, me and my wife, where, all right, it's like, he has his own crib, and he sleeps with us, so we go back and forth. But I'm at the point now where I've been telling him, like, yo, in order for him to get through this next phase, we're going to have to let him cry. Like, he's going to have to just sit there and cry. So we've been going back and forth with that, but it's so funny that you said that. We know the threshold, and we're like, all right, let me give him, like, 10 more minutes. If he continues to cry and doesn't fall asleep or doesn't, like, relax, then, okay, I know something's wrong. And that's the same measurement. It's like, all right. He's still crying. Okay, I'm going to go over there. But it does make you look kind of crazy for people that don't know you. They're like, yo, you going to get your son? Like, no, I know him. I know him. Give me like 5-10 minutes. He'll be good. And then if he's still going, it just looks all bad.
That's funny. Yo, I'm only laughing because my 3-year-old still sleeps with us. And we've been trying to kick him out of the room for the past like 2 years, bro.
And I wait. So is it really 3 years? Does it take that long?
No, it could be quicker. It could be quicker, but we're lazy. I'm going to be very honest. Okay. It's very easy.
There's nothing wrong with that.
It's much easier to have him in the room kicking us in our face than running to him at 3 a.m. when we got to wake up at 5. You know what I mean? So it just makes it easier.
Bro, I literally was one of my boys. Shout out to my boy Curtis King. He has a son that's a couple of months older than mine. And he put this little meme up of he made a gif out of his son. And he was like, when I tell my son it's time for nap time, and his son has a funny look on his face, he's like, nah, I'm not going to sleep. And I hit him back with, bro, I hit him with the, remember the Dave Chappelle, Rick James?
Yeah.
He's like, fuck your couch. I'm like, yo, that's how my son does me in the bed, like, all the time. He's always kicking me in my face, so just doing somersaults in the bed. I'm like, yo, just go to sleep, man. Like, so that's where I'm just like, man, it's around that time where I'm kind of at my wit's ends, like, I might want to hear you cry versus you kicking me in the face. So it's so funny how people handle it a little bit differently, but I'm just, man, I'm kind of getting to that point, man. That's the only reason why I ask, because I'm like, I know you got 3. I'm like, all right, should I go hard on disciplining them and making sure he stays in the bed, stays in his crib, or just continue to be lazy and just kind of let him do it on his own? You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's all preference, bro. Like, I don't think there's anything wrong with waiting a little bit or kicking him out sooner. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's all preference. Like, my firstborn, he was out the room when he was like 6 months. You know, my second one, he was in the bed until like maybe 1.5. This dude is just chilling, man. Like, it's his bed, bro. And then the crazy part is, like, when you finally get them out the room, they come back Saturday morning at 6 a.m. to hold your hand while you're sleeping. Like, you can't win. You can't
at
win,
all,
bro.
At all.
Like, I wake up with my middle child filling up on my finger. Like, he does this thing, like, to comfort himself. He, like, rubs my finger. And it's like, dude, it's 5 a.m. What are you doing? Go to your room.
I need this comfort, man. You know what it is. Yo, bro, I'm brand new.
Yo, it's hilarious. But something that I saw that made me laugh the other day was your partner, bro, DJ Head.
God, that was talking about FaceTime, man.
Yo, what was that about, bro? That was hilarious. I've been dying.
Another reason why I'm on FaceTime my son at work. That's part of the reason why I choose when I'm going to do it now, because I've done this before where I FaceTime him. I'm about to get on the show and I'm like, okay, I'm going to be kind of caught up for a couple of hours. Let me just get some FaceTime in. Cool. And we're prepping in the other studio, and Head has done that before where he'll say some stuff to my son and just make some weird faces or whatever, just act a fool in front of him, right? So I'm thinking this is going to be no different. And he's like, he looks at the camera, like, outright, he's like, say shit. I'm like, yo, no, don't do that. Like, you don't have kids. Like, they pick up, and not only do they pick up on it, they let it out at the most random times, and they never forget. So what he thought was a funny moment, and which it was, you know, hilarious.
It was hilarious.
I'm like, bro, it's going to continue to happen now, and it's continued to happen ever since that moment. So he's like, shit, and now I can't stop him from saying shit. It's just one of those crazy moments. But you got to know DJ Head to know that that's his That's his attitude. That's his way. I wouldn't expect anything less from DJ Head to do that. So that's why I wasn't tripping too hard. But it was a funny-ass moment. But I know, not again. Now I'm never FaceTiming him with my son there ever again.
Yeah, we all got that one crazy friend, man.
Man, dog.
Like
it was wild.
Like, I got my oldest. My oldest is 13. So he's just hitting puberty. And we just had the sex talk this year. And I was telling my wife, I was like, you know, I can't really tell him the things I really want to tell him because I don't want to look like a dirtbag. So I got two friends that I know exactly what they're going to say to him, and I'm going to bring them on board. And when he's like 15, yo, y'all take him, do dirt, man.
go handle that. You know what I'm saying? Take this from my hands. You know what I'm saying? Relieve the pressure, man. Y'all got this.
That's right. Relieve the pressure. Don't push it back to me.
So you've had that talk with him. How complex was that? Was it as easy as you thought it was going to be, or was it like, oh my God, sweating bullets?
Dogs, it was nerve-wracking to like start the conversation, but then I had one of my friends whose name is Paul Brunson, who's like the modern day Hitch, super cool dude, matchmaker galore, this dude, you got to look him up, great dude. He told me the best thing I needed to hear. By you asking people about the talk, that means that you care and you're ready to have the talk. So when he told me that, it was like, yo, I'm ready for this. Let's just swing it.
Yeah.
And he came home one day and we talked, and yo, he made me laugh, bro. He told me that sex is when people get drunk. Like, people go out, they drink, and then they have sex. And it was like, what the hell is the what the hell is this school teaching you, bro? Like, I'd rather send you to the hood, man. Fuck that. like, yo, at least in the hood, they're going to tell you the truth. Like, yo, yeah, you know what? You're right. You have sex when you're drunk, but it's because you're drunk. You know,
right. So was that something that you knew? Was it like more of a like a timing thing because he was 13, or like you felt there were some things that kind of led up to it? Like there was some signs.
Nah, it was just time, bro. Like I told the story in the podcast. Like for me, the way I learned about sex, you know, my dad did it very awkwardly. He pulled me in a room, put on a porn with two girls, and he was like, "Yo, this is sex. Like this is what happens." Yeah, and I was like maybe like 12, 11 years old, so I was completely lost, and it was kind of misleading.
All right, so let me ask you this: was it like Spice Channel, like softcore? Like, yo, they going in.
It was a VHS going in. Like one of them, one of them bootleg VHSs that you buy like in Canal Street or something.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Oh man,
with the janky recording, but it worked.
you saw it all.
Yeah, and that's why I had the conversation with him, and that's what that's what you're gonna have to look forward to, bro.
Yeah.
And it's crazy because you're in a different industry. Like I was, I was in tech, so it's like, man, we all geeks and nerds. You know what I mean? Like it's a different world.
Oh my God.
You know, but one thing that I really wanted to talk to you about, because you're always at the studio, is the dad vice, bro. Like you have this segment where you pull in superstars, famous ass people, and you ask them for advice on fatherhood, and you called it dad vice. That shit is hot, bro. What? How the hell did you come up with that?
It was. I'm gonna tell you, man. It was one of those things where we were interviewing Nipsey. It was our last interview with Nipsey Hussle, man. And my wife was pregnant, so we knew we were gonna have a kid. I think at that point I knew I was going to be having a son, but I didn't put it out there like that. And I respect Nipsey so much as not only an artist, as a man, and everything he's done for just the hip-hop culture in Los Angeles, but I respect the way he was as a father. So I was like, yo, I literally, it came up just as organic as it sounded. Like, Head was talking about it. He was like, yo, my boy Chuck Dibble just found out he's gonna be a dad. He was genuinely happy because we've known Nipsey for some time. So he's like, hey, congratulations. I'm like, but bruh, like on some real shit, I need some advice. And it wasn't even called dad advice at the time. It was just like, yo, I just need some advice on what can I expect and what to do, because as you know, we were talking about it, your life takes a pause. So my thing to him, I'm like, you're somebody that's in the industry. You have your own brand. You got everything's going, but you're able to still maintain your relationship with your kids. How do you do that? Like, that was my biggest thing. Like, I'm so nervous about how to go about this pause and the transition, and, being there for my family, but at the same time, leveraging my career and still doing that. And he just gave me some real life advice. Like, bro, I can't tell you no cool answers. And he's like, I can't tell you no cool answers. But just know, like, it seems like for me, I just had to be a sniper about my time with my kids. Just be there. And, you know, he gave me some just great, solid advice. And that was just, we had like a real moment. And I'm like, yo, that's something different that I haven't seen anybody do with other artists, especially fathers, especially in hip hop. You know, we all, there's this stigma that, you know, fathers aren't there for their kids, especially with the black and brown communities and, you know, some hip hop. It's like, you don't see that side of it. But I swear every time that I talk to somebody, they light up and they give me a different answer and a different, the conversation just swings and you can see what's really the most important to them. And I feel like that's what hip hop is about. We gotta showcase that side too. Yeah. You see the drugs, you see the violence, you see all these other things, like, but there's other things that are about these artists that you don't necessarily, that's not necessarily spotlighted. So I'm like, let me just do my part as a father. I'm getting something from it selfishly. Like, I'm getting the advice, but I know other people would need that advice. And I know from the artist standpoint, it's something that shows them in a different light. Yeah. And it was just one of those things where it just kind of like, I don't even know how I came up with the name, but I'm just like, yo, advice, that, oh shit, it just kind of just made itself. So
yeah,
just kind of just been doing that moving forward. And a lot of people have been taking to it. And I really appreciate that, because I literally have been getting like a lot of people from, you know, people that I know. I went to the mall holiday shopping and somebody stopped me in the mall and was like, yo, bro, I love your dad advice. I'm like, oh shit. Like, it's really resonating with people in a different way that I couldn't even imagine. It came from a selfish standpoint through a conversation I was having with the homie, and it just developed into something that, you know, I feel like can kind of go on. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think it's dope. That's the dope thing to do. Secondly, I think that especially for us, especially for black and brown people, we have this misconception that when you see another dude, we gotta puff our chest out and act hard.
Tough,
right?
Yeah.
Be tough.
Yeah.
And what I'm finding out now is that, like, even before I started Father That Is Lit, you know, people kept telling me, yo, you gotta do something for the dads. You gotta do something for the dads.
Yeah.
And I kept telling them, nah, man, that's corny. Like, no dad wants to hear from me. But what I realized was that when I would go up to these dads, even like the most thugged out dads out there, they will break down and start talking to me about fatherhood. Like, it's nothing. Like, it was like a shining moment for them. And I'm guessing that's why it works for you with the artists, because artists are, you know, they're
exactly
hard to break.
What it is.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is. And I actually had a conversation with Offset about that too. Like, he was one of those people where with men to men, the contact that you have, you know, especially with a lot of people that don't really kind of understand the radio business or just music in general. There's a lot of different crews. There's a lot of things that's going on, especially with the radio station when people are coming in for interviews. It's like in and out real quick. So unless you're the host talking to the guest, you don't really get too much FaceTime with that person, meaning that they're kind of like closed up and reserved. You know, they see people in and out all the time. It's a different station. It's a different market. It's one thing to the next. So the thing that I've really appreciated about this, it opens up a conversation. So with Offset, it was one of those same things. He had just got back with Cardi. Like, he was just on his tip of just kind of being closed off to people. And everybody was asking him about the controversy. Everybody was asking about what's going on with him and Cardi. Yo, marriage, is this going on?
Yeah,
that going
the
on?
Hot takes.
And the hot takes, right? And which I understand from a media standpoint why you do it. But I legit wanted to know, because he named his album Father of Four, and I'm like, oh, this is perfect. So when I seen him in the hallway, I said the same thing, like, yo, bro, because it's like I have to have an elevator pitch, like just straight up, like, yo, I'm a father, you know, I do this thing called dad advice. Some people get it, some people don't get it, but when I pitched it to him, he was like, yo, that's amazing, bro, like that's really cool. So, and he gave me some legit advice too, and I'm just noticing that they light up in a different way when you speak on that. One of the last persons I did, I haven't posted it yet, I did one with Game. You know what I mean? And
ooh,
I've known Game for some years. And, you know, everybody knows Game. Game is hardcore. He's, you know, super, just kind of like, it depends on who he's talking to. He can just be kind of shelled off and kind of like closed himself as well. But when I did it, you know, I could tell him when I was approaching him about it, he didn't know what was about to be going on. And when I did it, he lit up and we turned it off. He was like, yo, that's a dope ass concept, bro. Like, keep that shit going. And I'm getting a lot of reactions like that from people that I wouldn't expect. So it's definitely something that's striking the chord, and I'm going to keep going for sure and just kind of get more consistent with it. I got probably at least 15 in the tank right now that I haven't released yet. But yeah, I definitely will keep that going on for not only hip hop, but for the fathers out there, man, I think it's very much needed.
Yeah, nah, it's definitely needed, because we look at these artists and people in the industry and we look at them like they're perfect. You know, like they got everything that we couldn't accomplish. Right. And then on your dad advice, you get people like Fat Joe that comes through and they tell you, yo, my biggest advice is to keep going, like to show up. And you're looking at them and you're like, man, you got everything. And when you said show up, you could see that you really meant it and you were happy about that. Like we need to change the narrative, and you're doing that with dad advice. You know what I mean?
And I think that's the biggest thing that I love about it, too, that we're literally changing the narrative. And it's showing that, you know, there's some great fathers out there. Whatever the media shows from different artists, there's some great, great fathers out there. And, you know, we need to see more of that for sure.
So without naming any names, have you ever had an artist that when you asked them to do it, they just told you, like, nah, man, I'm like, this is too personal?
Now, everybody's been receptive towards it, which is good. There have been people that that haven't understood it, so their reaction to it, and again with time, I don't have too much time to explain, so they'll give me just a generic one where you can just tell there's no thought involved, or it's like super short. Like I've had that happen a couple times, but nobody's rejected me as of right. I think nobody's rejected me. Yeah, nobody's rejected me. There's been people, again, with the timing of it, there's been people that I haven't had enough time to explain it. So it's like, yo, we got to move. We got to get up out of it. All right, cool. No respect. No, I'm not tripping. Like, I wanted to get Meek. I couldn't get Meek. That was one I was kind of like, damn. But damn, he was like, he was in and out like real fast. And I knew I didn't have, like, if I don't have the time to really pitch it to you the right way, and that's what I'm starting to learn as I'm doing it. If I don't have enough time to really pitch it to you, I'll just let it pass, because I'd rather from my experience, I know what it's like to have a half-ass one. Mm-hmm. I'd rather not have a half-ass one. I'd rather miss the opportunity, catch you another go-around, and really explain to you so you can give me something very thought-provoking versus just like, yeah, be there for your kids. All right, later. Like, all right, bro. Like, I get it. Like, that's going to be the go-to answer, which I get. But I've been trying to, like, figure out different ways of, you know, presenting it to them. And then, you know, with some of them, I ask a follow-up question. I think I asked Chance the Rapper that. Like, I'm like, yo, you give me some advice. And he gave me something. Like, yo, and I give him something that's really true to me, like the potty training. I'm like, yo, bro, how do you do that? Like, how do you, as a father, go ahead and try to potty train? Do you pass that off to the wife? Like, how do you do it? And he gave me some real-life shit. I'm like, oh, okay. And I actually implemented now where he was like, yo, bro, you got to wake him up in the middle of the night and just get him on schedule. Like, I don't care what time it is. Just do it. And I'm like, yo, so like that, I've been trying to figure out different ways of doing that as well, because I know it can get repetitive at times, because you know they're caught off guard, so they're just going to give you. Sometimes they're just going to give you just a generic answer, but if I customize it to things that I'm going through, and that's the beautiful part about it. Like with this fatherhood, there's different journeys that you go through. You have a different journey the first 6 months than the second 6 months, and the first year versus the second year, and then it's always another thing that you're going through, and that's what I'm finding with this. And I'm like, okay, I can start asking them based off of my experiences or something that's custom or tailored towards that particular person. So sometimes that requires a little research involved as well, but it's just one of those things where I love it, I'm enjoying it, and it's shedding light on the artist, but at the same time I'm getting something from it too. I'm really learning like a lot from not only them but just as a father.
No, I think that's dope, because I think that's how movements begin. Like, I think for, like, for with me, with Fatherhood is Lit, for me to do the podcast, it was like, man, I have access to some really cool people. Some cool people follow me. I'm going to get a little bit greedy here and get some dad advice from them. But at the same time, I'm going to serve it to everybody else to show them that, yo, dads are real. Like, we really did. Like you just telling me about Chance is crazy, because when you think potty training, you think, yo, dad ain't there, so mom has to handle it. And it's like, nah, there's dads that are there putting in work, and they got to deal with kids peeing all over the place, you know, accidents.
Exactly.
And to hear Chance do that when he could just give up his money and do it, that's kind of it's kind of dope.
It's dope, and it shows that it's fun, too. Like, that's the beautiful part about this is that we're in a club like no other. You know what I'm saying? And that's something that we all bond over. Like, me and my boss, his name's Doc Winter. He's like the vice president of the urban program of all iHeartRadio, right? His son was born 2 days before my son was born. So that's one thing that we bond over constantly. It's like, yo, how's Cole doing? Yo, man, how's C3 doing? And we're going through the same thing, like, of, yo, did your son do this? Yeah, he does it. Oh, how do you do that? Like, it's one of those things. But it's so fun at the end of the day, like, being able to kind of just bond over that. You understand? And that's what I love about the podcast name and the movement, Fatherhood is Lit, because it really is. Like, yeah, you had your journeys and your ups and downs with it, but at the end of the day, it's the most fulfilling thing in life. You know what I'm saying? As somebody that really enjoys it. And this is from somebody that, for my whole life, radio was my passion, right? From the age of 10, I knew this is what I wanted to do. I knew I wanted to get into the radio game. I've been pursuing it for so many years. You know, I've been building homegrown radio for, you know, over 10 years. Like, this is just my main bread and butter, my baby, right? Then I met my wife, and I realized that I'm so glad that I got somebody that supports me on my journey to doing what I love to do. But even with me marrying her and her being there for me, that was like a deal breaker, right? It was like, yo, if you can't support me doing this, then I don't want to be with you, right? Yeah. So I always knew from jump, like, the person that's going to have to deal with me is going to have to deal with radio. But when you have a kid, right, this is something completely independent of anything. You know, when you have a kid, it's not like, hey, son, you know, radio is my passion. So if you're crying right now, I ain't fucking with you. Like, no.
Nah.
And this is one of the things that showed me, like, outside of radio, outside of my marriage, you know what I'm saying? This is the most single thing that I love the most. Like, I really enjoy being a father. And I don't understand, like, even from the moment that I had my son, I'm like, I don't understand how somebody can walk out on their kid, on their family. Like,
it doesn't make sense.
Even if you got issues, it doesn't make sense. To me, it just doesn't, I can't compute it. Like, I can understand the baby mama issues. I get all that. But that should be independent of you dealing with your kid. Even if your baby mama is blocking you and all this other stuff from seeing the kid, as a father, there's nothing that wouldn't stop me from being in my kid's life, especially from the moment that you see your flesh and blood. So it's like, this is the best shit ever. It really is. And it's like, you know, I want the world to know that. I want the world to know how I feel about my son. I want the world to see it. And, you know, hopefully that changes, shifts the narrative from the perspective of people thinking that folks of our descent aren't there or don't want to be there. Or, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, and the good thing about it is that I'm seeing it. I'm seeing more, you know, with bringing up Offset, how Offset named his album Father of Four. You know what I mean? Having his kids on his album, how Game is an incredible father. A Chance the Rapper is just an amazing father. Nipsey Hussle, amazing father. And countless other people.
They're putting in work.
You know, they're putting in work. And not only are they putting in work behind the scenes, as they should, and which is the most important, but you see them shedding that light and putting it in the public, too. So, I don't know, man. I like that part of it. I like the fact that this is a unique club and you know, you have more podcasts and more platforms like yourself and, you know, more segments like the Dad Advice that's getting out there that people are, you know, jumping on, you know what I'm saying? And supporting and saying, hey, I'm sure with you, like, a lot of people have been hitting you up and saying, yo, this is when you were not even thinking about doing it or kind of hesitant on it. And then when you started to do it, the outpouring amount of support that you've been getting from that. So it just goes to show that, yo, we out here, bro. We love it, and we build each other up.
And it doesn't end, bro, because it's crazy. I every day I open up my DMs or my email, and there's another yep. celebrity or somebody huge that people think mm-hmm. of, and they say, man, I could never reach them. But they're reaching out to me, where it's like, yo, like, wow. I love what you're doing. Here's my number. Let's set up some time. Mm. Let's chat. And, you know, I tell this, you know, and I tell people all the time, like, I had a celebrity on the phone one day. He called me and I'm gassed. I'm like, yo, I'm going to do this podcast with him. Let's knock this out. We didn't get to knock out that podcast because we started talking about, we're talking about fatherhood, and homeboy broke down crying because he was having issues.
Oh, wow.
And I told him, you know, I told him, I was like, damn, if the world could hear this, they wouldn't believe it. And the first thing he told me was, nah, the world can't hear this, bro. Because I'm a gangster and I can't have people listening to this. And that's the perception that I think we kind of give off to the world without even thinking about it, where it's like us in hip hop, we're tough, right? We don't have like these super duper hardcore feelings. Like I saw you the other day, you were kissing your son. and you wrote that your dad wouldn't kiss you because it was too, it wasn't masculine
manly.
Enough, right?
Yeah.
So that's what,
manly, man.
But that's
yeah.
the perception that we give off. So how are you, since you're working in the industry so much, right? How are you going to teach mm-hmm. your child that what's real to us isn't necessarily real to the outside world when it's coming from black and brown? Like, how are you going to keep them understanding that sometimes the things that they see coming out of the hip hop world is just a facade? Because my son will look at somebody like Lil Tecca and be like, man, dad, like, this guy got millions and millions of dollars. Like, he's rich. What did you do? And it's like, yo, son, this dude is not really rich. Like, he's making money. We're going to give him that. But it's really a perception that you see. Right. So how are you going to keep that? Like, how are you going to keep it real with your son, but then also tell him, yo, this ain't the real world sometimes, man?
I think that's only going to take time. You know what I mean? The only way, and that's a really, really good question, because the only way that I can think about that is to parallel it to my life, right? Mm-hmm. You know, when hip hop came about, you know, we were supporting it, all that, it was, being from LA, being from Carson, California, the West Coast, our shit was super driven on gangster rap.
Yeah.
So I'm in there, you know, the first album that I bought with my own money, excuse me, was Dog Pound Dog Food, right? Mm. And this is before the parental advisory. Actually, no, let me take it back. The first cassette that I ever bought from the swap meet was Dr. Dre, Dre Day. And that was before parental advisory stickers. So I was able to in the first, second grade to literally buy that with my own money. And then, or money that my mom gave me. Not fun. I wasn't making money back then, but money that she gave me, right? And when I got a little bit older, Dog Food was the first album that I bought. My point is that gangster rap was something that I heavily consumed. You know what I mean? I would obviously cuss in front of my friends. I would do all this, you know, and still have a level of respect for my parents and not do that around them. So it was a lifestyle that was completely different on that I would see and just love and just kind of like just be that would influence me. Mm-hmm. But I was also raised with my mother and my father. We had a broken home. My parents divorced when I was about 8 or 9. And that was like one of the most questioned things that I had to deal with just as an adolescent and growing up. But I figured out different ways that, all right, this is the positives and the negatives about that, whatever. But my point is having a structure and having somebody constantly in your ear, mm-hmm. you'll weed out what's really good and what's bad, right?
Yeah.
So although I'm seeing gangster rap, I'm loving Snoop, I'm loving Pac, Dre, all this shit, I wasn't going to do that shit when I went to church. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I'm not going to mimic the same type of actions when I go to church or even in front of my parents, because I knew what was right and what was wrong. And after a while, like, I knew what was for me and what wasn't for me. Like, we all had, like, a phase of, oh, you want to kind of get into certain lifestyles. I was never a gangster. I was never, I was around certain people, but I never adopted to that lifestyle because I knew it wasn't me based off of my growing up and the people that were around me, right? Yeah. So although different relatives, different coworkers, different people that I, you know, spent a lot of time with did that, I knew what was right from wrong because of my core, my immediate family, you know, telling me what was right and what was wrong. And that came from my mother, my father, rest in peace, you know, because he lived that lifestyle for a little bit. And he would just tell me, like, yo, that's not it. Like, you don't want to do that.
They gave you the foundation.
X, Y, and Z.
He showed you the foundation. Yeah.
So when you have the foundation, I think ultimately you're able to navigate through what's right and what's wrong. So if I have to go down that path and I feel like I still got, you know, some years, thankfully I got some years of structuring and laying the foundation for my son. If he sees somebody else doing X, Y, and Z and wants to even mirror something like that and thinks that this person is a celebrity, is, you know, that person or whatever, okay, you have a right to think that, but you're living with somebody that's telling you every day that, nah, that's not right or that's wrong. And when it comes down to whether it be smoking weed, whether it's drinking or whatever, you're going to make your life decisions, but at the same time, understand this, you know, you got to be held accountable for your actions. Meaning, all right, son, you want to smoke, you want to drink, these are the pros and the cons to that. I'm not encouraging you to do this, but I understand what it's like to be that age
And, you know, I feel like that's, it's easier said than done now, but I feel like that's how I would handle it. I feel like I would want to just have as real as of a conversation so that if he decided to go down certain paths, he would know, like, damn, okay, this is the foundation, the structure. I don't have to do that. And that person may or may not be right. It may be cool, but nah, it's not for me. You understand?
Yeah.
And hopefully I can navigate. Hopefully when it comes that time, it'll be an easy discussion. Well, I don't know if it's going to be an easy discussion, but hopefully my words and my rearing over the years would set in for him to be like, okay, yeah, this person is cool, but this person is doing that also. And he can see through the bullshit. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But again, I mean, that's a really tough one. That really is a tough one because that's the thing that a lot of people aren't talking about. And yeah, that's the reality of it.
And we've
that's
all, the reality of it. And we've all gotten fooled. Like, we've all gotten fooled
all
by
gotten
it
fooled.
Many of times. Like, I, you know, I still get fooled by it because this is the culture I live. This is the culture I breathe. And sometimes I want to think the best of the person saying it. You know what I mean? And it's,
exactly,
you know, sometimes it's a little bit different. You know, I was going to end it with asking you for some dad advice, but mm-hmm, it seems like you gave us some. You gave me some empathy there. Like, you got to be empathetic, yeah, and understand that, yo, they're kids, right? And we went through
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
And then you gave me the part of, yo, being persistent, which is, yo, you got to keep serving them. Keep serving them the gems that you
got
have within.
Man.
You know what I mean? Like, you
got
to keep giving them lessons. What am I missing for like a final dad advice? Like, something that you picked up in the past year and a half, 2 years of being a brand new dad, bro?
Like, what? Man, I would say the best thing is, and it's super generic, but it's been the underlying thing that I've been getting from a lot of people, but just to be present. Be present and enjoy the moment. Enjoy the phases. And this is what will really help anybody out there. Take as many pictures as you possibly can. I can't tell you how thankful I am with social media. There's times that I'm constantly going back in my memories. And again, my son at this moment is only a year and a half. So but Facebook and with all these apps, they're giving you memories every single month of what happened the year before.
Yeah.
And I'm just looking at so many things. Like, I was looking at my son at like 3 months old recently. I'm like, oh my God, dude, he's so different.
It flies right by, right?
It flies right by, and you just want to be present in those moments as those times go by. Because if life has taught us anything, bro, is that we're not guaranteed tomorrow at all. You know, we've seen the recent passes of just different people from the Juice World to Nipsey's and the Badass. There's a lot of people that we've lost in 2019 alone, right? Yeah. In hip hop, and it's super unfortunate. But at the same time, it's like a few of those people are fathers, and you want to make sure that you make a lasting impression on your kids. You know what I mean? What are your kids going to say about you today if that time happens? Have you laid enough foundation for them to say, you know, oh man, my dad, he did this. He was this kind of man. You know what I mean? And again, my son's only a year and a half, but that's one thing that's always ringing in the back of my mind. Like, I want to make sure that whenever it's my time to go, my son will be like, man, but my dad, he did this. He was about this. Now he had, man, my dad, what? He was embarrassing the shit out of me by kissing me every day. He was not letting me get out the house and posting it. He was posting me on social media. I didn't want him to. He posted pictures of me doing this. But it's those things that they hold on to. You know what I'm saying? And I as much as the social media thing, some people may not gravitate towards it. I love it, man, because it's those memories that you hold on to and that ultimately live on after you're gone. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah, take those pictures, be there, be present, enjoy the moments, and just live. Really just live.
Yo, and show your kids affection, man. Hug them, kiss them. Yo, it's actually
man,
soft if you don't
wrong
do
with
it.
That.
Yeah, it's soft if you
there's
don't do those things.
Nothing wrong with that. And that's why I said I'm glad you brought that up, man. That it was literally one of the last conversations that I had with my pops before he passed. Unfortunately, it was like, yo, like we literally had we went out to have like lunch one day, and it was on. I think it was on his terms. He's like, hey, man, let's go grab some food. I'm like, all right, cool. Go grab some food. And we just literally all the questions that I wanted to ask him in life, I was like, you know, because as growing up, you know, your father is somebody, or just your parents in general, but your father for sure is one of those people, he's just like, you know, I don't know if I can tell him this. I'm kind of afraid. Like, there's a there's a certain level of fear that you have about your dad. And I was like, you know what, Panda, I'm going to just ask him everything I want to know. Why did your mom break up? Why did, you know, certain situations about half-sisters that I have? Just all these things. And he let me have these. Like, yo, man, this is what this was about. This is what this was about. And when it came to that conversation about not showing affection, he was like, man, that was, you know, something that my dad raised me as. Like, he didn't ever show me affection. His dad never showed him affection. And it got to him because I saw him starting to tear up. And my dad, I can literally count on my hand, like maybe, I probably seen my dad cry once. And that was at his mom's funeral in 1991, wow. Right? Yeah. And that was literally it. Literally it, right? And, you know, he started to tear up. You know, he didn't cry, but I could see him starting to tear, starting to well up. And he was like, that's just one of the regrets that I kind of have, that I wasn't affectionate to you guys while you were growing up. And, you know, because, you know, and for lack of better words, he apologized. He's like, I didn't know no better. Like, that was just how I was brought up. And I got it. Like, I never, and in that post, I was saying, I'm not knocking him. Like, I understood it. Like, mm-hmm. I never cried myself to sleep. I was like, well, doesn't he hug me? Or, like, nothing like that. But I knew it was just something that I lacked growing up. And I knew it was, other people lacked it as well. So I'm like, it was just good to have that conversation. And I said, you know what, moving forward, like, at the time I didn't have a kid, if I ever have kids, there's going to be so the opposite of that. It's going to be sickening because I want them to know, I want the one thing that they know is like, yo, my dad loved me. He loved the shit out of me. And he wasn't afraid to post it. He wasn't afraid to show people. He wasn't afraid to do anything. So yeah, man, that hits to your point, man. It's really a cool thing to show your kids some love, man. Show them affection because it does, whether you believe it or not, it does affect them in the long run.
It matters. You know what I mean? It matters, bro.
It's very much so.
It matters. And, you know, I speak from experience where my dad wasn't super affectionate like that, but I knew he would give his life for me anytime.
Absolutely.
But he missed like special moments where affection was needed. And mm-hmm. I will never forget it. I'll never forget all the good things he did for me, but I'll never forget that the lack of affection that he showed. And because of him, I it was hard for me to show affection in the beginning. Once I had my second child, man, forget about it, bro. It's kisses,
like,
hugs,
I'm throwing
everything.
It all out there.
Dude, I argue with my friends all the time about, you know, how do you kiss your child? You know, if your child is 1 year old, do you kiss him on the lip? Do you kiss him on the forehead? Mm-hmm. And it's like, dogs, I'm going to do me regardless. I don't care what y'all think anymore. If I kiss him on the lip, exactly. I kiss him on the lip. You know what I mean? Like, that's just the way it is. And that's, you know, it's real talk. But yo, Chuck, man, you kept this so real today, bro. I truly appreciate it. How can people get in contact with you, bro?
You can find me at Chuck Dibble everywhere. Just Chuck Dibble. I hate saying Google it, but just you can find me. Instagram, Twitter.
That's the business card,
everywhere.
Bro. That's the business card. That's the business card right now. It's Google. That is the ultimate business card.
Whatever you can search Chuck Dibble, that's where you're going to find me. From here on to moving forward, wherever social media platforms pop up in the next 3 to 5 years, I'll be there as well. Or whatever platform, whatever is out there, you just find me, Chuck Dibble. And, dude, I sincerely appreciate it. I love this conversation. I want you to continue this, man, and for the sake of not only the culture but just for fatherhood in general, just that a cat's out there that can learn something, man, tap in and, you know, get something from this. It's very needed, man. These conversations are for sure necessary.
Dogs, this is therapy for me, man. So thank you. Thank you for taking the time out and, you know, filling me in on the lifestyle, filling me in on keeping it real with your kids and the whole industry, bro. Like, I truly, truly appreciate it. And I know the community will too. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much. Anything you need from me, James, man, tap in, bro.
Oh, for sure. We're going to have to do a round two on the West Coast, you know, focus on...
Yeah, whenever you're in L.A., man, come on. Hit me when you're in L.A. I'm going to hit you. I'm trying to make a trip to New York in 2020 real, real soon. So hopefully, you know, I can get out there. We can link up, grab some food or something, talk some more about fatherhood.
For sure, for sure. Thank you so much. And to the community, y'all know the vibes. Fathers matter more than the world will ever tell us. Keep making your presence felt. Fatherhood is lit.